From Fort Worth, Texas, the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry is on the air. Our website, which has email and contact information along with past sermons, is www.jesuschristsaid.com. Now, with today's message about the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's evangelist David Perkins.
Thank you, George. In John, the third chapter, beginning in verse 16 through verse 21, Jesus Christ said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God." The words of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, the third chapter. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May the eyes and the heart and the soul of some be opened to the power that is yours. Through Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Welcome once again to the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministries. It's so good to be with all of you again. Those of you who cannot, for whatever reason, get out to go to church, this is your weekly radio church, our weekly worship service. Welcome to all. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome. Today's Bible reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter, beginning in verse 2. The Bible says, "And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven.' And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, 'This man is blaspheming.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins,' he then said to the paralytic, 'Rise, pick up your bed, and go home.' And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men." That's our Bible reading for today from the New Testament, Matthew, the 9th chapter. May God's mercy be upon us all and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. Aren't those wonderful words? "And when the crowd saw it, they were afraid and they glorified God." Who wouldn't be afraid? Who wouldn't be fearful of such power and yet at the same time want to worship and praise and glorify that power that is used to heal? To heal, not to conquer. The healing power of God is shown in the hands and in the heart of Jesus Christ. This is what the power of God does. It heals. It doesn't use its force to conquer, to build aircraft carriers and bombers and fighter planes and attack helicopters and tanks and rifles to overcome the enemy. No, God uses his Son, Jesus Christ, on earth as a way of showing his power. And that power is used to heal, and in this instance, to heal a paralyzed man. And Jesus, the radical revolutionary, not a rebel, but a radical revolutionary who came to earth to give us the message that love conquers all earthly power, that Jesus uses his power of God to heal on the Sabbath. This is not an in-your-face action to show his detractors, the scribes and the Pharisees of that day, and the modern-day Pharisees, those church leaders bound up in their law, their doctrine, their interpretation of the Bible is the only interpretation. Jesus was showing them and us that God's power is ultimate. God's power is all everywhere. And God's power is all the time. God's power is not suspended even on the day God rested. God's universe never rests. When God speaks in the Bible of evil, it's always spoken of as the world, not the earth. The earth and the world are two different things. The earth is part of the physical makeup of the entire universe which God made. The universe is everything there is, period. There is nothing else. It is you and it is me. It's the stars in the sky. God is the universe, and the universe is God. God is infinite. That is, God is forever, and God is everywhere, just as the universe is forever, and the universe is everywhere. There are no ends to the universe because the universe never ends. There is no end to God because God never ends. There is a part of science called quantum mechanics, or how the quanta or the data of the very small in our universe works. The mechanics of the very small, quantum mechanics. And then there are the mechanics of the very large. This is cosmology. And then there are the mechanics of God, how God works. When our scientists look for the Big Bang as part of their Big Bang theory, they're looking for something that doesn't exist. They are sincere men and women of science, but no matter how sincere, they will never find the end of the universe or the beginning of the universe. It just isn't there. God was, God is, God will be. Now, I hope scientists never give up looking, because curiosity is one of God's gifts to humanity. Scientists, even those who do not believe that God exists, because for the most part, if they can't hold it or see it or hear it or feel it or touch it, that is, if the scientists can't quantify it or measure it or count it, then it doesn't exist. Certainly we cannot see God, can never quantify God, can never mathematically prove that God exists. How can someone, being serious now, ask the question, where exactly does God live? People say that, you know, where does God live? Or sometimes we'll hear this question, how big is God? Or what is the size of God? My daughter Tricia in Pennsylvania, and she's expecting her third daughter, and Pat and I are expecting our fifth granddaughter in May the 11th. Her name is going to be Sophia Grace Porchinski, Sophie. Anyway, Tricia sent me this story about puppy size, and it goes like this. Danielle keeps repeating it over and over, and we've been back to this animal shelter at least five times. Been weeks now since we started all this, the mother told the volunteer. What is it she keeps asking for? The volunteer asked. Puppy size, replied the mother. Well, we have plenty of puppies, if that's what she's looking for. I know, we've seen most of them, Mom said in frustration. Just then Danielle came walking into the office. Well, did you find one? Asked the mom. No, not this time, Danielle said with sadness in her voice. Can we come back on the weekend? The two women looked at each other and shook their heads and laughed. You never know when we'll get more dogs. Unfortunately, there's always a supply, the volunteer said. Danielle took her mother by the hand and headed to the door. Don't worry, I'll find one this weekend, she said. Over the next few days, both Mom and Dad had long conversations with her. They both felt she was being too particular. It's this weekend or we're not looking anymore, Dad said, finally in frustration. We don't want to hear anything more about puppy size either, Mom said. Well, sure enough, they were the first ones in the shelter Saturday morning. By now, Danielle knew her way around, so she ran right for the section that housed the smaller dogs. Tired of the routine, Mom said in the small waiting room at the end of the first row of cages, there was an observation window so you could see the animals during times when visitors weren't permitted. Danielle walked slowly from cage to cage, kneeling periodically to take a closer look. One by one, the dogs were brought out, and she held each one. One by one, she said, sorry, you're not the one. It was the last cage on this last day in search of the perfect pup. The volunteer opened the cage door, and the child carefully picked up the dog and held it closely. This time, she took a little longer. Mom, that's it. I found the right puppy. He's the one. I know it, she screamed with joy. It's the puppy size. But it's the same size as all the other puppies you held over the last few weeks, Mom said. No, not size. It's size. When I hold him in my arms, he sighed, she said. Don't you remember When I asked you one day what love is, you told me love depends on the size of your heart. S-I-G-H-S, the size of your heart. The more you love, the bigger the size. The two women looked at each other for a moment. Mom didn't know whether to laugh or to cry. And she stooped down to hug her child. She did a little of both. Mom, every time you hold me, I sigh. When you and Daddy come home from work and hug each other, you both sigh. I knew I would find the right puppy if it sighed when I held it in my arms, she said. Then, holding the puppy up close to her face, she said, Mom, he loves me. I heard the sighs of his heart. And then the story ends this way. Close your eyes for a moment and think about the love that makes you sigh. I find it not only in the arms of my loved ones, but in the caress of a sunset, the kiss of the moonlight, and the gentle brush of a cool air on a hot day. They are the sighs of God. Take the time to stop and listen. You'll be surprised at what you hear. Life is not measured by the breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. Isn't that a beautiful story? That's the sighs, or rather the sighs, S-I-G-H-S, of God. The awesomeness of the universe, the awesomeness. I'm talking about the physical universe, the one that we can look up into the night sky and see stars if it's not cloudy. I'm told that the average human eye on an average clear night can see just about 5,000 stars in the sky, some brighter than others, and some of those stars are really planets in our solar system. There are 9 planets in our solar system that orbit the sun, and I guess, though, since the former planet, notice, Pluto, was demoted from being a planet not too long ago by the scientists and cosmologists, and that's not the cosmetologist, but the cosmologist, that is, scientists that study the cosmos of the heavens of the universe, which would include our solar system. So I guess there are eight planets now. Some of those stars are planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Mars. So if you look up into the night sky, don't forget that there are stars in the sky that we can't see because the Earth is in our way too. Now, each one of these stars, not planets, but the stars, is like our sun. Our sun, which is just an average star in the universe, in fact, is 93 million miles away from us. Average sun. Now, you think of that, 93 million miles away. From downtown Fort Worth to downtown Dallas is 33 miles. 33. That's all. And yet, most of us wouldn't want to walk or even drive sometimes that 33 long miles from Fort Worth to Dallas. The Earth itself is 24,000 miles around at the equator. 24,000 miles. That's a huge, huge distance. Human beings have been flying for just a little over 100 years, and many records have been set in that time, including sending 3 human beings to the moon, which, by the way, is about 200,000 miles on average away from our Earth in the night sky. But until just about 20 years ago, one of the last flying records fell, and that was a nonstop flight around the Earth without refueling. Dick Rutan, flying in an airplane custom made by his brother Bert Rutan, and a young woman pilot, Jenna Yeager, flew around the Earth's circumference. So according to scientists and engineers who measure all these things, the Earth, the Moon, the solar system, and the distances involved are huge. They're huge, big, and yet we are just a tiny speck in the universe. This is God's universe. God's universe, because God is the universe. God made the universe. And when we look out into that night sky at those 5,000 stars, how far can we see? Well, once again, scientists or science, which is God's gift to us for measuring and knowing his universe, tells us that the latest telescopes, the Hubble in orbit around the Earth, for example, is one of the best, can see out about 10 to 15 billion light years. That's billion with a B. Now, I went to the website Cool Cosmos, which is for kids, and that's from the University of Caltech University website that tells us the Hubble Space Telescope can see out to a distance of several billions of light years. Now, light year is the distance that light travels in 1 year. Since light has a speed of 186,000 miles per second, light can travel about seven times around the entire Earth in 1 second. Light travels about 5 It's followed by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 zeros, miles in just 1 year. You can attach 9 more zeros to the end of this to get 1 billion light years and another 1 for 10 billion light years. That's the farthest that Hubble has seen so far. That's about 10 to 15 billion light years away. The farthest area looked at is called the Hubble Deep Field. So we're talking immense, immense distances for our physical universe. This is the universe that God made. The Bible says that in the first book in the Bible, Genesis, the very first chapter, the very first verse, that the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This is the Big Bang, or the beginning of the universe, or the beginning of time that scientists are looking for. They'll never find it. Once again, I hope they never stop looking, because curiosity is one of God's gifts to us. But from Luke chapter 17, verse 20, the Bible says, once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, like the cosmologist, like quantum mechanic physicist, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. These are the scientists that observe things. But Jesus Christ said, for in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. Now, how can that be? Don't you wish the Bible, which is God's word to us, don't you wish God would make up his mind? Is the kingdom of God out there in the immense universe, or is the kingdom of God among us, here in our hearts? Well, the answer, of course, is yes. God is both out there and in here. God is everywhere. Now, wait a moment, David, some would say. That's a cop-out. That's illogical. That's like saying everyone do this, which means nobody do this. So if God is everywhere and out there, then in fact, does God even exist? Well, the Bible says this. For Mark chapter 10, verse 23, the Bible says, when Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Now, this is not a question as many people think. How hard is it for a person with wealth to enter the kingdom of God? Question mark. No, this has an exclamation point. It's an exclamatory sentence. How hard will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were greatly astounded and said to one another, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals it is impossible. For we human beings it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are impossible. Now, Jesus Christ could have been talking about money, but in this instance, Jesus Christ is talking about those with the gift of intelligence, rich in intelligence, smart people, street smart or book smart, makes no difference. It's smart people who we're talking about, people who have figured out that the Hubble Space Telescope can see out to 15 billion light years. These are not necessarily the Einsteins among us, but the above average bright and the above average pupils. And yes, there are some very smart people in the world. And not all of them are evil, believe me, but they are sincerely mistaken in looking for the end or the beginning of the universe, because there is no end. There is no beginning of the universe. There is no end of God. There is no beginning of God. This is why Jesus Christ came right along and said that the kingdom of God belongs to the little children. From Mark chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus Christ said, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. Not as a bright person, not as a logical person, not as a smart person, not as a scientist, but as a little child will never enter the kingdom of God. We've got to come to God as a little child. You know, it's pretty amazing that the all-powerful of the universe, the maker of the universe, our creator, would ask a child, Not a big, strong adult alpha male or female armed with the latest sniper rifle and hand grenades and means to live off the land for a week while he or she looks for bad and evil men to kill in the name of a democracy, or even those terrorists who strap on bombs and fly airplanes into buildings. That these are not the ones that will receive the kingdom of God or paradise. Jesus Christ is telling us a little child will enter. The strongest man in the world cannot break down that door, but a little child can. With a whisper to God, a little child can enter into his kingdom. That is amazing. That's the most amazing thing, that we trust in God. We have that as our national motto, "In God We Trust," but I don't see us observing it. I say this not to frighten you, but to remind you what Jesus Christ said in the parables of the two sons in Matthew chapter 28, or 21 rather, verse 28, Jesus Christ said, "What do you think?" Now I want to stop here. Jesus Christ said, "Think." He was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes of that day, and the Pharisees and the scribes of this day who say, just don't think, just take the Bible literally for what it is. Jesus Christ is telling us to think for ourselves. A man has two sons, Jesus Christ said. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collector and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you." Now remember, Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees and is talking to today's Pharisees and today's scribes. Jesus Christ said, "For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." That's from Matthew, the 21st chapter. Check it out. I believe that we here in America, the first son who told the father that he would go but did not, and on a personal basis, there are those among us who believe that they know all there is to know about God's word and that they have the final interpretation. You better not get into an argument with them about the Bible, because they're going to win. The ultimate interpretation, and the rest of us are damned if we don't worship God in exactly the same way they do. Don't believe you have to interpret the Bible? Take a literal word-for-word reading that's necessary? Well, argue with Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, after the resurrection, the Bible says that he interpreted the words of God to the two on the road to Emmaus. The Bible says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." He, Jesus Christ, interpreted to all of them all of the scriptures. We all have our kingdom of God within, and we all see the kingdom of God in the universe, in the size, S-I-G-H-S, of the universe. We look for God, and we become like little children again, and we sigh in the arms of Christ, who is God living on earth. In Luke chapter 18, verse 17, Jesus Christ said, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." That is the mechanics of God. That's how God works. If you have a favorite religious song, if you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Today's song is sung by the Tally Trio. This is from the Gaithers album, "Love Can Turn the World," live from South Africa. The song is simply called "Almighty." This is Roger and Deborah and daughter Lauren Tally, and they're a musical family devoted to God and each other, and they sing Southern gospel with praise and worship and hymns. Here's the powerful singing group, the Tally Trio, and "Almighty."
Almighty God, the great eternal King, marvelous and
That's the Cali Trio. The Cali Trio and a song called Almighty. I don't know how to ask for money to continue our ministry, and I really don't feel comfortable asking, but I have to swallow my pride and ask for your help. And the Jesus Christ Said Ministry preaches 3 weeks a month at the Manor Care Nursing Home, and we're here on the radio every Sunday, and that costs. And they don't give us this time. You know, it's expensive. We don't take up a collection as they do at a regular church. We don't send out all those mailers like they do at the glitzy TV evangelist shows. But we need your help, and you have to do it on your own. You have to somehow find it in your heart to help us out. Send your tax-deductible donation of any amount to the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministry, Post Office Box 162-712, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161. One of the most beautiful doxologies or hymns or praise of any book is in the New Testament, in the book written by Jude, the brother of Jesus and the brother of James. Jude writes, "Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever." That's from the book of Jude, verse 24 and 25. And I would add to that, Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ's love. In His name I pray, amen. Till this next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church. And be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.
From Fort Worth, Texas, you've been listening to the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry. If you'd like to hear past sermons, please go to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. This is George Thomas saying thank you for listening, and God bless you.